young folk to have a zeal for him, to have a fire for him, because he's getting them ready for a release. He's getting them ready to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing.
Dwayne, come on up. Let's give Dwayne a hand as he comes. Amen.
Praise God this morning, and I just thank God for that awesome presence that he has allowed us to experience and witness and understand that God is want to habitate. Yes, amen. Yeah, amen. All right, kids. Oh, you're fine, Pastor. You're okay. But this presence that we've experienced, God just doesn't want it just to be a Sunday-only thing, that we should experience his presence every single day of our lives. And God has been awesome. And I don't know if you noticed, but God is doing something pretty amazing. God is doing something pretty awesome in the kingdom. And, you know, all of my life, I've always desired to be somewhere where the Spirit of God is moving upon his people. You know, I don't know, you know, about many of you, but I'm tired of church status quo. I'm tired of just coming every Sunday morning and we get our little worship on, and then we leave. And we never see lives change, and we never see the fruit of the labor. But God is sharing with me that he's bringing up a generation of people that are tired of the status quo as well. That just coming to church on Sunday is not enough. But that we want to be in the presence of God continually. That we want to be in his presence and not just here. You see, I've learned that you just can't do this on Sunday morning, because you see, your battlefield, your place of witness is not in the four walls of the church, but it lies on the outside. And I realized that as a man of God, as a preacher, guess what? That I don't have to stand behind a pulpit to preach the message of God, but my life will preach the very word of God. God is awesome. God is awesome. And I'm telling you that if you're not there where you want to be, that all you got to do is every single day is spend time with him. And I realize that sometimes it's not having to spend an hour straight or 3 hours straight, but it's like every moment that you get an opportunity that you can just whisper his name. Jesus. Jesus. When I'm driving down the road, Jesus. You know, I've had the best conversations with God in a noisy truck. I've had the best time of my life praising God with the engines roaring and my truck bouncing around and tears flowing down my eyes and I'm just lifting him up and thanking him for everything that he's done for me. And even thanking him for those things that seem too painful. Those things that seem that, you know, those things that we don't like. Those things that we sometimes feel that God can't be in this, but you know what? He says that all things work for the good of them. There's a purpose in it. There's a purpose in our sufferings. There's a purpose in our pains. There's a purpose in our ups and our downs. God is awesome. God is awesome. See, this message that God gave me is the very word that our sister last week. She read from Psalm 24 and the very scripture that God put up on our pastor's heart. And he spoke about as well. And we were just elated when I told him. I said, God, Pastor, God has put that word on my heart as well. And when God is doing something, when God begins to give us revelations of things to multiple people, God is really trying to get our attention. He doesn't want you to miss this. God is trying to give you a revelation of what he's about to do. One thing about our Father is that he don't want to keep his children in the dark. He wants you ready for what he's about to do. God is about to pour out an outpouring upon us as we've never seen before, that we've never seen before. And I'm just going to go to this familiar scripture, but there's a few things that God just wants to give me, and I want to share with you what God has given me. And it's from the 24th Psalm, the Psalm of David. And I'm just going to read just a few verses out of it. Starting at verse 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face." And I want you to look at that verse 6 again. "This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face." And what God wants me to share with you is that this is the time of the Jacob generation. This is the time of the Jacob generation. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father God in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your awesome presence, Lord God. Father, we just come to lift you up, and we thank you for just allowing us to worship and praise you, Lord God. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that your word will come forth, Lord God, that you will speak to your people. Lord God, just humble me, Lord God. Speak through me what you want me to say to your people, Lord God, that you may receive glory and honor. And Lord, we thank you, we love you, and we cherish you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a time of the Jacob generation. And I'm going to try not to get so excited so that you don't miss what God is trying to say to us and what's going on. And as I said before, there ought to be excitement right now. You see, there should be some excitement within the kingdom of God right now, more than we've ever known it before. And sometimes you may ask yourself, how can we be excited when all we see in this world is sin running rampant, the truth portrayed as lies, and the lies taken as truth? But I want to tell you that excellent time to see the witness of the full manifestation and glory of God. You see, God begins to work his best when there seems to be chaos running amok. Amen. You see, we're in the times that everywhere we look, we can't put our hope and our faith in this world, but we have to trust and see God move like he said he's going to move. God is about to pour out his glory and his spirit upon some people so he will show the world that who he really is. Amen. Amen. We're living in a time that we have gained knowledge like that you can ever imagine. We have power and technology at our fingertips, but yet we still miss the still small voice of God. Somehow we have exchanged our liberties and freedoms with God with this world and its lust and all the things that satisfy the flesh but not the spirit. You see, prophecy has been spoken to our pastor, over our church, to our people. And it has been confirmed by the Spirit of God that God is about to do something amazing, not only in the kingdom, but in this area. Then let me ask you something. There's a young man playing. He's singing. Everybody knows him. He's all on TV now. Brother Rose. Let me tell you, a few months ago, nobody knew about Pineville, Kentucky. A few months ago, nobody knew anything about Bell County. God is doing what he said he's going to do. You see, he'll use whatever method he's going to use to allow, guess what, the attention. See, the attention is not going to be on him. See, the attention is not for him. The attention is about what God is going to do in a place that people see as obscure and obsolete. See, God is going to raise up in a place that he says, well, wait a minute, that's a little place that is cold and people are poor and there's drugs going amok and alcohol and there's nothing there. But God says, I'm there. I'm in the midst. I'm in the midst in the presence of a people. You see, I could never understand, and I finally understood once I moved here. There's a reason why they haven't legalized the alcohol here. Baby, we want the presence of God. We want what's godly. We understand that when we open the doors to sin, when we open the doors to the enemy, he comes in like a flood. He comes in like a flood. And God is honoring the sacrifice. God is honoring that. He is honoring the obedience upon a people. God is about to do something so amazing that will cause the nation to stand still and awe at his power. And awe, let me tell you, when God begins to manifest his mighty power and presence, let me tell you, the nation is going to be like, we can't believe what's going on there. That there's something going on in that place. There's something, it's going to be on the news. It's going to be on the news. It's going to be rocking all around this nation, and people are going to try to figure out what's going on. But we know that the power of God is what's going to manifest. If you haven't noticed, there's been a shift in the heavenly and spirit realms by those who are seeking God with fervent prayer and diligent hearts. As I watch these young children and young adults sit here and pour their hearts out to God, you're going to see these children begin to open up to God like never before. There's a shift. There's a shift. They're going to gain a hunger for God at this age that we never could imagine that could ever happen. God is raising up a Jacob generation. You see, the mindsets of these people that God is raising up are tired of religion. They're tired of just coming to church and getting their praise and going home. You know, one of the things I realize about the kingdom of God's people is that we have become overweight spiritual Christians. We have been gluttonous in the spirit. We reflect physically what we, spiritually what we reflect physically. We come in God's house and we take in all this word that God gives us and we keep it to ourselves. Never going out and taking that word that God has deposited in us to take it out to give to someone else in this world. You see there, God has placed in you fruits. He has placed in you fruits, and the fruit is not for you to eat, but it's for somebody else to eat from your tree. There's been a shift. People who are not just interested for what's in the hand of God, but they want to get before him and they want to seek God's heart. Too often we just want what God can give us. But God is raising up a generation that is seeking his heart, that are seeking his heart like never before. You see, it's a people, if you've noticed, they're tired. They're tired of the same routine. They want to see people saved. And we, this morning, praise God, we see some souls saved. And Pastor, let me tell you, this is a doorway that's going to open that flood, that river is about to come gushing through of souls like never before. It's coming. It's these people that want to see people delivered, moved out of their comfort zones and worship. You see, one of the things that I love about God is God is going to move in a way and folk are going to start worshiping God like never before. Right now, there's a barrier for some folk that they just feel like they can't worship God. But you know, there's God. God is laying upon the hearts of some people. You know what? Whatever he tells you to worship and how he tells you to do it, you better do it. Because there's somebody out there that God is impressing on and they can't move because they got fear. They can't move because they're thinking somebody's going to say something. Or they're going to look at him crazy. But God is looking for a folk. Oh. That want him so bad. That if God says I'll do cartwheels. I'll do cartwheels up the aisleways. If I got to do backflips, God, I'll do whatever you put on my heart to do. And I know that that's not dignified. And I know so long that we have box God in and tried to say that there's only a certain way we can worship God. There's only certain ways that we can do it. And then when God starts to move, we become bewildered. We become like, oh my gosh. But God says, I want to see something new. Pastors preached it. New wine in new wine skins. Oh, he said, I'm raising up some folk that are going to bust these doors wide open and they're going to praise me like you've never seen praise before. God is raising up for people who know that the power of God is more than just real, but his power is alive in that it has been imparted to the children of the Most High God. God has given us power. He has given us power to overcome. And until we as a church get that in our spirit, when we get that revelation that you have the power. Our brother said it right there. He has given you, the enemy is the liar that tells you, because he doesn't want you to realize, that the sprail, the wellspring of spirit that God has implanted in you, that when it comes overflowing, those around you will be affected and changed. He's given you power. And can you feel and sense the spirit roaring and moving like a lion that is waiting to be released fully by the people of God? See, it's you. It's in you. It's in you. You see, God is waiting for you to release the power that's in you. I've deposited in you. You just got to release it. You've got to release it. There's somebody here waiting for you to release it. It's not the power, it's just the pastor's responsibility, but it's your responsibility to release the power, because there's somebody's soul that's in balance that's waiting for you to do that. Release that power. Release the power. God is wanting some people, you know what? That you would get so close to him. That you would have an affair with Jesus so close that when folk get around you, they get uncomfortable. Especially if they're unsaved. You see, God is trying to put in you a spirit upon you. Like the spirit of Moses. Remember when Moses went up into the mountain and he spent all that time with God, that the Bible says that when he came down, the people were like, oh no, you got to cover your face because we can't look upon you. The reason was is the conviction of God. His glory was upon them so much that folk were convicted. Either, let me tell you, there's something about conviction that's going to do two things. They're either going to draw people to God. Or they're going to get away. Oh Lord, either I can't stay around you, or I got to come down on my knees and say, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? What do I got to do to have what you've got? What do I got to do to have your peace? What do I got to do to have the joy that you have? It ought to cause the world to be uncomfortable. And I heard this story and it was so amazing. There was a story about this young guy. He got to go play golf. with a professional golfer, someone famous, and Billy Graham. And he went out and played a round of golf, and he got back, and his buddy came up to him and says, how was it that you were able to play golf? And friend threw down his golf clubs. He was kicking his bag, and his friend said, wow, he must have had the worst golf game in his life. He's kicking his bag. He said, man, what's wrong? He said, I had the worst game. He said, well, what's wrong? He said, Billy Graham didn't even say anything about church. The very presence of a man of God, the very presence of a man brought conviction. See, you don't have to talk about him. You ain't got to say nothing about Jesus, but your life ought to be conviction enough to folk. Your life ought to be conviction enough that when folk get around you, they know there's something about you. There's something about you. And that's what God is looking for in his people, a generation that he's raising up. This Jacob generation refers to a people regardless of age. In a day that we fully enter into the glory and inheritance of our Lord. You see, just like Jacob, who was a bulldog, he was passionate and he his pursuit of God and his purposes in spite of their weaknesses. You see, these are the kind of people that God are looking for. People who don't care that no matter all the failures that I've had, no matter all the weaknesses that I struggle with, but I'm still going to run after Jesus. That no matter how many times I stumble, God is looking at that kind of person that says, you know what? I still love God and I may stumble, but I'm going to get back up and I'm going to keep running. I'm going to keep going after God no matter how many pitfalls I find myself. God is looking for these people, despite their weaknesses and inconsistencies, people who are like you and me, who are messed up sometimes and who are totally sold out to God. It's the kind of people who have decided that no matter what, they will seek after God. Even though they may not have made the right decisions, the choices in the past, but they're still willing to seek God and his will for their lives. God is looking for those kind of people. Not the kind of people who wake up every day and think they've got it all together, but the kind of folk who know that if I don't have Jesus, I can't make it. If I don't have the power of God and his anointing, I can't make it. He's the kind of people that like Moses that said, God, if you don't go with me, I don't want to go. I don't want to go by myself, Lord. If your spirit doesn't go, I don't want to go. That kind of person, that's what God is looking for. That's the kind of generation that God is raising up. This kind of people who are like Jacob, who are willing to wrestle with God until they get an answer. I don't know about you, but there's some folk out here today. You're seeking God for an answer. But he says, you know what? I want you to wrestle with me. I want you just to keep on your knees. I want you to pray diligently until your answer comes. Jacob decided that when he was hurt, he was afraid that he was going to seek God no matter what. No matter what. He said, I'm going to wrestle with God until I get the answer I need. That's the kind of folk that God is raising up in this generation, a Jacob generation. They are not afraid to press to God. There are people who are stay on their faces in prayer. We're going to have prayer service tonight until they see the hand of God move upon their situation. Just like my brother and his wife. You know, when I met Brother Gary at work, you know, one thing about the Bible says, it says, test the spirit by the spirit. And before I could even say anything, he started talking about the Lord. And then we just started expounding on God and how good God has been to us. And the Spirit of God raised up in me to be bold enough to proclaim the healing to proclaim what God will do. You see, God is, he wants a people. He's looking for a generation that no matter what the odds say, no matter how much the odds are stacked against them, will speak God's word over their circumstances. You know what? I appreciate my sister as a medical professional. But one thing that I realize, guess what? They're not healers. They are not a healer. And any great doctor will tell you, you know what? I'm not a healer. He's the healer. And one of the things I told my brother, I said, brother, let me tell you, I said, God is the one who created life. He's the creator of life. And until God gets finished creating life, all man can do is speculate on what's going to happen. And we proclaimed healing and deliverance over his child. And I told him, I said, you know what? We got to take the attitude that child was. I said, you know what, brother? I said, I'm praying like that child is mine. I said, I'm going to pray for you like that baby is mine. That's my baby. And we're going to pray, brother. We're going to pray until we see the glory of God manifest in here. And there's some doctors and nurses. They're going to be going, well, we can't believe it. That's why. There's a great God. There's a God that's in charge. He's a God that, oh. And most of all, a people who are not afraid to come into the holy presence of God and worship him and praise him. You know, one of the things that are in so many churches, and I went through it myself, is there is a stigma of tradition that keeps people in bondage when worshiping. And you know, one of the things I realized that God has done in my life, God has kind of made me he just kind of throws me out there because he know I just love him so much. And I remember the very first time that God put a dance in my spirit, I was in a Baptist church. See, God loves a default tradition. And God was up there just behind the pulpit, and I was just giving some encouraging words, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God came over me. I got the praise and I got the dancing, and folk looked at me all crazy. But somebody realized that, guess what? God is in control. God, he doesn't stand on man's traditions. He loves to come in and mess up everything that we're so used to knowing that for ourselves. You know, this Psalm, that 24 that God gave us this morning was written by King David. And if you just do any little study on it, and you'll see that on the occasion that David wrote this Psalm is when he retrieved the Ark of the Covenant. And he was taking it back to the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible says that David was celebrating the return of the presence of God back to the holy city. And David realized what I finally realized so many years back, that he danced not because he was trying to get something from God, but because he realized he already had everything. See, I praise God not because what I'm trying to get from God. I've learned that I praise God because I realize I have everything. I have everything that I ever need in God. And in that knowing that, in that revelation, I can praise God. I can celebrate God. I can lift up hands and shout to him, even though, guess what? Even though the world may say, nope, you can't. God says, no, you can. And I was looking at in 2 Samuel verse 6, this is talks about David as he was dancing. It says that his wife, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked upon David with contempt, and she felt that David had made a fool for worshiping and dancing before God. And I realized, God, the saints, is that when you get a revelation of who you are and what you possess in Christ, your praise and worship will offend someone. When you realize who you are in Christ, you see, there's some folk that don't want to see you praise. There's some folk who don't want to see you worship God. They think that, oh, they're foolish. They think that they're crazy. He's making a fool of himself. And his very wife thought about that. She thought her husband was crazy. He danced out of his clothes. He danced before God, but his worship was not to them, but it was to him. The one who sustained his life, who gave him everything. The very God that when David was in the wilderness by himself was the one who delivered him from out of the hands of the lion. It was in the hands of the bear that God delivered David. The one that never forsook David, even when his own father and brothers did. That was the God that David danced before. You see, David danced before the presence of God. And I realize that you have an even greater presence, Jesus Christ. You see, when you receive him, he dwells within you, he lives within you and in your heart, and he ushers you into the direct presence of God. He ushers you into the presence of the Father. So when you're praising God, when you're praising him and worshiping, he ushers you right to the Father, to the throne, so that your praises will be honored by God. That verse 6, David states it in his Psalter that this is Jacob, the generation of those who seek your face. You see, Jacob had very much reason to seek the face of God. Let me just tell you a little bit about Jacob a little bit and how that correlates with the psalm. You see, Jacob was forced to leave his family, and the Bible says, and go to Padan Haran to find a wife. And it says most of Jacob's life was filled with deception and contempt. And after tricking his very brother, Esau, his twin, taking his birthright, and not only taking his birthright, then he masquerades himself as his brother, and he lies to his very own father and pretends to be his brother to steal the blessing of his brother. And Jacob finds himself running for his life. And as I look at life, many of us have found ourselves doing very much similar things in our life. Our lives are full of deception, sometimes contempt. Sometimes we've lied and stole to get what we wanted. And in that, we found ourselves running. May not have been physically running, but running away from the very thought of who God is, or from the thought of that we ourselves are unworthy, that there is no way that we could come back to the presence of our family or God. But like Jacob, many of us have heard the word spoken over our lives. And you see, one thing about Jacob is that before he was born, the Lord God spoke over their lives. The Spirit of God told his mother that he said, inside of you, there are two nations warring. There are two nations warring, one representing the flesh and one representing the spirit, that are warring. And he said that the older brother will serve the younger brother. The fleshly brother will serve the spiritual brother. He will have his life spoken over. And like many of us who have had our lives spoken over, we've seemed to fallen short of that. And we've made a mess of these things, but God is trying to let you know that he's going to bring us back in his time. And as we see this, Jacob had to leave. He has to leave out because he's caused much pain to his father, his brother, and he finds himself fleeing from the safety of his family and going out into the unknown, trying to find and understand his purpose and his direction of life. But despite the uncertainty, despite the pain and confusion that Jacob carried, he was obedient to the wishes of his father. You see, one of the things that they were afraid of is that Jacob was going to marry into a pagan wife like his brother did. And you see, because his brother lived according to his flesh, he had already failed his birthright. He had already failed of having his birthright fulfilled because he was already disobedient to his father. Pastor talked about obedience and authority. Jacob Steele, in all of his mess, in all of his chaos and his deception, he decided to be obedient and leave and go and search for a wife as his parents had asked him to do, into a distant land. And the Bible says that he traveled on. And because of that obedience, it says that God manifested himself to Jacob in a dream to reveal himself and renew a covenant with Jacob. As Jacob was out in the wilderness, as he was traveling, the Bible says that Jacob had a dream of a ladder. And he said, up in that dream, it says that angels were ascending and descending upon that ladder. And upon the very top of the ladder sat God himself. And God reminded him of the promise that he made to his father. And he says, I will be with you. I will be your God. I will be there protecting you along the way. And the very ladder that Jacob saw the angels represented Christ himself as the bridge between us and the void of God between us. And I realize that when we are obedient to those who God has placed over us, that God will show up and reveal his plans for our lives and the blessings that are in store for us. You know, I shared with the pastor some time back that God gave me a revelation on authority. He said, sometimes, and I'm going to speak because I know that, you know, sometimes spiritually, we as individuals feel the Spirit of God ushering upon us to say something, to do something, and you're sitting there, and you feel the fire of God welling up in you. And you may go to the pastor, and you may say, Pastor, I got a word. But the Spirit of God may say to the authority, no. It's not time for that word. And what will you as an individual do? That spirit that's in you, will you allow the flesh to rise up? And you're going to say, well, wait a minute. God put that spirit in me. But God wants you to be obedient to the authority that he placed over me. You see, God had given me a word last week. And the pastor said, whatever the spirit. I said, you know what, pastor? Whatever the spirit says. Because if the spirit moves in you to say, nope, it's not time. Guess what? It's not time. Even though God had ushered in my spirit to speak, but God knew it wasn't the time. There's an authority that God has set in place. There's authority that God has set in place, and he wants to see if you will be obedient to that very authority that he has set up. And when we are obedient to that very authority, then God will continue to manifest himself to his people. God revealed himself to Jacob, and he said this generation will receive a revelation of God like never before in history. And this generation that God is talking about will receive and release the fullness of what he has been waiting to release and reveal since the first promise was made to Abraham. You see, he's positioning people. He's positioning these young folk to have a zeal for him, to have a fire for him, because he's getting them ready for a release. He's getting them ready to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, not just for us, but for a folk that don't even believe in God yet, for a people who are lost out here in this world. God said that every generation has had an opportunity, but they fell short. Church, understand that all of the unfulfilled promises of all of the generational blessings and all of the mantles that have been released and about to be released on the Lord will cover the earth. But he says that it will take a Jacob-like generation. He said a generation of people of every age, despite whatever they're going through, despite they are determined to enter into the glory and the inheritance of Jesus Christ. He said, just like Jacob, they will be passionate in their pursuit of God. They will be passionate for their purposes in spite their weaknesses or inconsistencies. But they will be like God. And like Jacob, again, many will have made bad choices, have been disobedient. And like Jacob was in his life, he manipulated. But at times, even in his flesh, he refused to give up. One of the things that God is saying is that he's going to bring his people to a place where they will soon get a revelation fully of his power and his authority. When Jacob fulfilled his mantle of his servitude to his uncle, as you read, if you read the story, and Jacob had his family, he had his 12 sons, and he had all of his belongings and his riches and wealth, and finally God said to him, it's time to go back home. And we find that as Jacob gets all his things together and in his household, as he serves his uncle, he realizes that no matter what he's done and no matter how well he tries to serve his uncle, that his uncle, of course, is very crooked and very, very pious toward Jacob. But Jacob, still obedient, decides to listen to God and head back home. But as Jacob remembers that not only did the problems that he had with his uncle, but he remembers the animosity that his brother had toward him as he went back home. So Jacob is traveling back to his homeland. And in that traveling, there is fear upon Jacob. He's fearing that his brother Esau is going to have contempt against him and try to kill him. And at the same time, he thinks about his uncle who is pursuing him because he decided to leave and follow God and pack his family and leave. And so Jacob is faced with trying to understand that the fear is succumbing him of what he is about to face. So Jacob again finds himself alone. He finds himself alone with God. And the Bible says that in Genesis 32 and 24 that he was alone and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. The Bible says that in his anguish that he was feeling, that he was facing, Jacob turned to God in prayer. And the Bible says he prayed and he prayed and he prayed until something happened. He prayed until he found himself wrestling with the very angel of God for his answer. God is saying this has to be a generation that will have no problems wrestling with him until they get their answer. Despite the opposition, despite the obstacles, they will lay a hold of God until a change comes. The Bible says that the more the angel tried to prevail against Jacob, that Jacob would not give in. It was not going to discourage his faith nor silence his prayers, but it was not in the strength of Jacob, but that he prevailed, but it was in the power and the strength of God that gave him his power. What he was saying is that when you're praying, the Holy Spirit will come in and empower you to continue and to prevail. Jacob didn't do it in his own strength. You can't do it in your own strength. We have to rely upon the power and the strength of God to help us prevail through our prayers and press on. And Jacob determined in his heart that he would not let go until he was blessed by this angel. In this request, Jacob didn't realize the full impact of his request. You see, when Jacob asked, he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And the angel had to say, He's fighting with him. He's not going to let him go. And one of the things I realize is that in his request, Jacob didn't realize the impact of his request. He was wrestling with God. He was wrestling with God, but he said, I'm not going to let you go, God, until you bless me. And because of his wrestling, because of his boldness to approach God, God changed the very character of who Jacob was. God changed his very character. And God says that when we begin to wrestle and we are not afraid to get in his presence, that he will change the very character of who we are. And not only did God change his character, and then God changed his name. You see, God changed his name from Jacob, which meant trickster, deceiver, surplanter, to his name Israel, which means prince with God. Jacob went from being an individual of his own request to a mighty nation that God was going to use for the glory of his kingdom. For the glory of his kingdom. Not only did Jacob's situations and circumstances change, but God changed Jacob's destiny. God will change your destiny when you get into the presence of him. When you determine to get in God's presence, and no matter what, he will change your destiny. And as we await, and as we seek God for a revival, I know that's been our prayer for our church. Realize, church, that it's not going to come in just our obedience to God, but it's also going to come when we determine that we are weak by our strength, that God is going to show up. God is going to show up when we determine that, you know what, God, there's nothing we can do besides praise you, worship you, and expect you to do what you're going to do. God is going to open up these hills, these hollers, and people are going to come flocking to God. They will come running to God. And I know some of us, buddy, I'm telling you, we've had a hard work during the week. Guess what? When God pours his people out, get ready. Get ready. I've only heard, I've only read about these great revivals, and I am anticipating God to do something marvelous and awesome. I want to see lives changed. I want to see folk get saved. I want to see that folk lined up outside the doors waiting every Sunday morning. While you're waiting to figure out what you're going to wear, folk will be standing at the door waiting, trying to get in, because they realize that there's a presence of God here, that there's a presence of God doing something so awesome that they got to get into his presence. They got to bring their children. They've got to bring their sick. They got to come pouring before God. And some of us, if we're not ready, we're going to miss out. He's got to get us ready. He's getting us ready. He's getting us ready. He's getting us ready. And I'm telling you, there's a generation he's raising up. These children, if you won't praise him, these children are already praising him. These children are already praising him. They're coming up. They're laying hands upon other folk. And I felt the power of God. I felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit so powerful that I've ever felt it before, that I've had this morning when these babies are up here laying hands and praying and pouring their heart before God. I've seen the mantle of God fall upon these children. I'm telling you, get in his presence. Seek after him like never before. Seek after him like never before. He's raising up a generation. This is a generation. This is the end time generation that he's raising up. A generation that's going to pour their hearts to him. They're going to worship him. They're going to praise him. They're going to come before him like never before. And you see, their work is not going to be here. But God is, he's powering them up. He's empowering them right now so that when they go to school, the very anointing that is upon them, like Blake and Christian and the young ladies, the very anointing that's upon them are going to fall upon you. Let me tell you, Brother Greg is going to be telling you, you know what? We got kids falling out in school. He said, we got kids falling out and slain in the spirit. We're speaking it right now. The folk, there's kids going to be falling out and folk not going to understand what's going on. There's going to be an uproar. There's going to be a slaying of children and God is going to move. He's going to move upon some folk. He's going to change some folk and some mothers and fathers are going to come up out of these hills. They're going to try to figure out what's going on and in their curiosity, God is going to transform their lives. He's going to save them. He's going to bring them to the mercy seat so that they may experience the power of God. I'm telling you, get ready to see something like you've never seen and witnessed before. I've determined, let me tell you, God didn't bring me here for nothing. I determined that I just didn't stumble upon our Father's house by accident. I've determined that God had a divine purpose because in my spirit, I've been hungering to see what God is about to do. And I ask God, Lord, before you take me home, let me see your spirit pour it out. Let me see do miracles and wondrous things like I've never seen before. He's ready to do it. He's ready to do it. And I'm telling you, get ready. I'm telling you, get ready. And let me tell you, if you think the enemy is fighting you hard now, he's going to be fighting, but you're greater. You have greater power. He's going to do everything. We have heard our family members getting sick. They've been discouraged. All kinds of things are coming against them, but don't be discouraged. Don't get discouraged. You stay, you press on. You press on. You stay on your knees. If any more time than now that you need to be on your knees praying is right now. Father, start praying over your families every single night. Proclaim over your kids before they leave the house that they're blessed, that they're anointed upon them. Pray over them, Lord. I give them the spirit of wisdom that they may be able to survive and deal with what's going on. Husbands, pray over your wives. Tell them, anoint them. Don't let a day go by without you speaking the word on them. It's too important. It is too important, church. It is too important. It is too important. God is already, he's waiting. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. He said, I'm ready. I'm ready to open the doors. But are you ready? Are you ready to receive what I have? Because if you're not ready, let me tell you, if you're not ready, it's not going to come. It's not going to come. But God is waiting. He's waiting. There's some folk, church. There's some folk. Too many folk out here dying. Folk dying daily. They don't know him. They don't know him. And how can we be selfish, you know, who have the promise and not share in that promise of life? We've been given something. We've been given a gift not to hold to ourselves, but to give, impart that gift to those around us. And I know everybody's not going to accept it. That's okay. But we are to be out. God has placed a mantle over us to tell everybody we can. To tell everybody we can of his love and mercy and what he's done. And let me tell you, he's already saved one in here. He's already brought him. He's already brought him. And guess what? God is a multiplier. Guess what? God is a multiplier. He's a multiplier. I wouldn't be surprised. And I'm going to proclaim it right now. We're going to have more. We're going to have two or three more next week. And I'm proclaiming the week after that that God is going to multiply that. And I'm going to tell you, don't get comfortable in your seats. Don't get comfortable in your spot because your name ain't going on that seat. It's going to belong to somebody else that comes in. I'm proclaiming it right now that God is going to open these doors and he's going to flood in some souls in his house. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready, Pastor. I'm done. Get ready. I'm done. Amen. God is ready. He's ready.